Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, September 13th, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 30, paragraph 2, which begins with, "We learn we had to fully concede," and ends with, "or presently maybe has to be smashed." Today's readers are Marciano Y. for the 12 Steps, Lisa L. for the 12 Traditions, and our readers are Eileen M., Leslie M., and Dana P. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, September 20th, for yesterday, September 22nd, is 19439. So the reference for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting is 19,439. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Friday, September 23rd, is 19443. That's 19,443. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Marciano Y. to please read the 12 steps.
Hi, this is Marciano Y., compulsive overeater in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Marciano Y. And I'll now ask Lisa L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hello, this is Lisa L. in Ohio, a recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 30. In the second paragraph, which begins with "We Learned," and I will ask Eileen M. to please read for us.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., recovered compulsive overeater in Lebanon, New Hampshire. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. I'm looking at that word concede, and that word in the dictionary means to admit reluctantly. I thought, oh yeah, you know, I learned in this program that this is a disease of denial, you know, and so I think that word implies an attitude of humility, because I thought, you know, I was in program for a really long time before I recovered, and I thought I knew everything. You know, and this really required a change in my belief system that I knew everything. And I think part of what kept the delusion alive for me was, you know, I had this thinking or this belief system that, well, you know, I'm really not as bad as other people here because I never have had a lot of extra weight. So I thought, okay, well, that, you know, puts me sort of in a different category, right? You know, I can manage this by myself. And here's how my thinking went for years. I was in OA rooms, you know, struggling, and this was my thinking, is that, okay, if I overeat, I can just, you know, if I overeat one day, then the next day, the next few days, I'll just eat less or I'll eat nothing. You know, I'll just fast for a few days. And that's how I controlled my weight. I mean, that's how I'm thinking I controlled it. And, you know, it says in the first paragraph that we read yesterday, it says, the persistence of this illusion is astonishing. And it's just amazing how many years that went on. That's the insanity. You know, and it really, you know, I came to realize that it really doesn't matter how much weight you have to lose or not. You know, that's the physical aspect of the disease, is the weight. What matters is the action is compulsion. Compulsion is the irresistible urge to keep doing a behavior over and over, even though it's unhealthy. You know, that's the insane part, and that's what I had, is I had that compulsion. And I think, you know, the three words in the Big Book that were very powerful, that just, I remember one day they just struck me. The three words were, it's lack of power. It's like, you know, realizing that you don't have any power over this, you know. It's like I can't control the weather. You know, I have no power over that. And this is just that one of those things. And, you know, as long as that thinking kept persisting that I can do this myself with no help, I think I thought I should be able to do this by myself. I think that was another thought, too. I should be able to manage my life and control my eating. And I think, you know, you have to get to a point where you're just saying, okay, nothing I'm doing is working. So I need outside help, you know. And that's where I had to get. I had to be convinced that nothing I was doing, I mean, I tried to control every aspect of my life as well as other people. So I wasn't just trying to control my eating. I was trying to control everything. And, you know, a lot of people in program will say, well, how's that working for you? It's like, well, guess what? It's not. You know, so that's the humility. The humility piece is saying, I don't know, you know, I don't know everything. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Eileen. What a great kickoff today. So appreciate that. Okay, we value everybody's experience, but we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 2 days, then please press star one to unmute. We'd love to hear from you.
Melanie C. from Canby, Oregon.
Melanie C.
Lydia T. from Marquette, Michigan.
Lydia T.
Debbie.
There's the answer.
Good. I heard Martha. Deb and Darcy.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Alexis F. in New Jersey.
Alexis. Okay. Wow, that's a great lineup. I have Melanie C., Lydia T., Deb, I think it's E., and Darcy didn't catch your last initial. And Ronnie, I didn't catch your last initial either, and Alexis F. Did I miss anybody?
Darlene H.
Darlene H. Okay, great. Well, let's go with this lineup, starting with Melanie C. You'll be followed by Lydia T. Please share with us, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Canby, Oregon, and I feel strongly in my heart. I want to say that I'm so grateful to be here and that this meeting is here today and that everybody showed up so I could have a meeting today. This particular paragraph is reworded in my big book by my own hand to help make an impact for me. And it says, have I learned that I had to fully admit, even if it's reluctantly, to my innermost self that I am a compulsive overeater with this disease? This is the first step in recovery. And what that says to me is that outside of anything else, that's the first step. And when I am able to admit that, I can move on with some sort of forward direction, because I have now in my heart known that I have a disease, a disorder, a dysregulated thinking system, whatever it is, and I can move forward with some sense of, I don't know, I was going to say assurance, but I don't think that's it. And do I believe the delusion that I'm like other people, even now that I'm sober, that it has to be smashed because I'm not like other people as much as I would like to have been. But that was my entire human countenance, that I was like other people. I could apply a food plan and I could lose weight. And the danger in that is I did lose weight from time to time. And so it just really dysregulated my entire thinking system around what to do about the condition that I was in. It disconnected me from being able to think in my mind that it was not functioning in the way that somebody else's mind was doing. I just kept looking at the physical part of myself. And so I was spinning for years and years and years and years and years. And it took quite a sincere beating for me to come into these rooms. Now, I'll confess, I still wrestled in the center of the ring with the idea that I was a real addict. So did I concede to my innermost self? What I conceded to my innermost self is I wasn't going to be able to figure even that out unless I had some sort of help. And so the best that I knew to do was to come in here on my hands and knees and ask for that help. What was the help that I was asking for? Is to help re-regulate my thinking, to show me that each one of you were doing the same thing and that it was possible to do, but it was a different language than I'd been telling myself for, at that particular time, 50 years. And so if I saw that over and over and over again, I could get some help, and it did, and momentum built over and over and over, and I was able to then finally concede to my innermost self. So no matter how I feel today or no matter how I think today, if I come into this room as a student, I am safe and protected, and I have conceded and continue to concede that I have a solid, solid, solid step one because you poured into my life. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. I fast.
Thank you very much, Melanie C. Lydia T., you are up next, followed by Dev E.
Hi, this is Lydia T., recovered compulsive overeater in Marquette, cold Marquette, Michigan this morning. You know, this paragraph pretty much sums it all up for me. I haven't been sharing on meetings lately. My work schedule changed and I work during the day now. But however, I have today off. But I had to concede to my innermost self that I was not like other people, that I couldn't go on a diet and then start eating my alcoholic foods again in moderation. And that was smashed, and I was able to surrender to a power greater than myself. It was really nothing that I did. The power was able to get through to me, is what I can say, through my fellows, through my sponsor, through listening to these meetings regularly. Like at that time, I was listening 3 hours a day because I knew I needed help. I had tried everything. I thought I knew everything. The good news is today I know I really don't know a lot. I know what has worked for me in the past. However, it may not work in the future. So I continue to do the steps, check in with other people if my thinking isn't correct or I feel my thinking may not be correct. You know, in Upon Awakening, it says, you know, God gave us a brain. But if I don't keep in contact with my higher power, my thinking goes askew very quickly, like in a day or two. And I start to think, well, this really isn't that big of a deal, you know. And by the grace of God and my fellows, by keeping in touch, I know that it is a big deal. I'm a nurse. I work with people that are slowly killing themselves every single day. And I see it every single day. And, you know, I hopefully can give them some hope that there is a different way. I don't know if all of them are compulsive overeaters, but some of them very likely are. And, you know, I just thank God every day that I was led to the 12 steps. You know, I thank God I'm a compulsive overeater. I thank God that I'm a codependent person, that I've had to struggle with addictions in myself and others my entire life, because I feel like this last half of my life is going to be that much better if I'm in contact with my higher power on a daily basis, which, you know, if I do the correct steps, I can be. And I am forever grateful for this meeting, for all the people who do service. Because if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be where I am today. I would not have been able to concede. I would not have been able to concede under my own will because my will was very strong. And thank God I was able to surrender and concede and get on my knees and say, I don't know anything and I don't know what the future is going to hold. And thank you. And that's the best news. I don't know what the future is going to hold. You know, it could be bad, it could be good, it could be medium, and you know what? None of that matters because I'm living today. Today I have a beautiful recovered life with beautiful recovered people, non-recovered people in my life today. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lydia T. Dev E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Darcy. I think it's Darcy M., but we'll confirm that. Please share with us, Dev.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Elaine. This is Dev E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I thought concede just meant to admit, but I just looked it up and it says, admit that something is true or valid after first denying or resisting it. And so it's such a well-chosen word because I denied this disease for a long time. I resisted it. And I remember, like, how angry. There's this one memory I have. I don't quite know exactly when it was, but I know it was before I started in program because I can picture where I was at the time. And I just, like, I was walking by this restaurant, and I just looked at people eating stuff, and I was like, why can't I eat that stuff? without it causing a problem for me. You know, I still didn't know quite exactly what the problem was, but I knew that when I ate that food, everything went out of control. And it made me really angry. And today, I don't want those foods. They don't interest me. Every so often people will be like, oh, I feel so bad, you can't eat this. And I really don't feel bad. Like, it's not like I'm hoping that one day I'll eat them again. Like, I just associate the pain of this disease with them. And so I really don't have any interest. I can smell something and say, oh, that smells good. But it doesn't, like, it doesn't trigger that, like, you know, the way it did before, where I'm just like, I have to have it. And then I go binge on it. So, it's, you know, one of the biggest gifts, I think, in terms of just like the food stuff, of not having that desire for it. And then the word innermost selves caught my attention too today, because I was thinking, like, I didn't have any, like, I had no idea what was going on inside me. Like, I had no connection to my innermost self. I had no idea that, you know, I was completely disconnected. I wasn't in touch with my feelings. I wasn't really in touch with my body. I was just like, everything was separate. And that's another sign for me of recovery, that I can connect to that today. Like, I have a very intuitive sense of what is going on in my body and in my brain and in my heart. And they're all connected to each other. And then the last thing I wanted to share was, I love when the Big Book uses words like smashed. I love when they just like go for it. And it's like, there's nothing ambiguous about it. It's like, it has to be smashed. This delusion that like one day I'm going to be able to go back to, or all of a sudden I'm going to be different and I'm going to be able to just eat anything I want and still keep the sanity I have from working this program. It's like, get rid of that idea. Like, it really has to be. And I feel like it's been smashed for me, you know. I just love, like, the thank you, you know, the visual that I have, like almost like a gavel just smashing the idea. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Dev E. Darcy, I believe it's Darcy M, is up next, and you'll be followed by Ronnie. Oh, great. Thanks, Darcy. Please share with us.
Yes, this is Darcy M from Nebraska. What hit me on this paragraph so much was, as I was growing up, I was like, there were two of us. There were two children in our family, but we were both raised as independent, like individual children. I felt like I was independent. I had to be independent. And all my life, I was always independent. I did things my own way, and I didn't have a lot of friends. So I was always, I had my own vehicle, my own job, everything. So I was always just independent. And to me, when to fully concede was, means like, I have to admit that I am not independent. I have to have help from someone else. And to admit that to my inner self is very, very hard. And that's still very, very difficult for me to admit to have help, to ask other people for help. And that's the biggest thing that I'm learning in this program, is to ask people for help. And that delusion of being independent is so difficult for me to smash. And that is the thing that I am learning the most, is trying to learn that, to ask my higher power, to ask other people for help, to ask non-program people, just for anything, even just to ask for a ride sometimes, to ask for a ride to an appointment or anything like that is something very difficult for me, because I'm so used to being independent. And I've been that way for 60 years. I've never married somebody. I've never had anyone else to rely on. as far as, you know, partner or anything. And so that, for me, that's been the part that's hit me, is I have to concede that fact that I am not, I cannot be independent, as so to speak, but I can be more independent if I depend upon my higher power. Because if I depend on him, I'm actually becoming more independent. And I have to remember that, because I have found that does work. So I have to smash the old idea of independence and rely on the new independent. And with that, I will pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I really like that. Thank you. Ronnie, if you could give us the first initial of your last name before you share, and you'll be followed by Alexis S. Please share with us, Ronnie. Ronnie? Star one to unmute.
Okay, I'm sorry, I was not unmuted. So the last initial is, the first initial of last name is B as in boy. So hi, everyone. This is Ronnie B in Missouri. Thank you for the reading and for the share and all the services. I like this because it gives clear directives. It leaves no room for a loophole. There's no cracks in the wall to seep through. And that's what I would do when I was eating. So I would buy this box of whatever it is, and say, I'm going to have two or three, and then it's a sleeve. And then I tell myself, well, that's for lunch, and I'll have another one for dinner. And then thus starts the vicious cycle. And when it said concede, that word stuck out, because a day at a time, next month, I'll have 3 years in this program. And I'm in the program like 33 years, and I've never had more than 9 months back-to-back recovery. But using the vision format, I have. And so when I'm around, and sometimes I am around people that eat other things. I mean, I'm not a monk. I can't hide out. And not too very long ago, I was on a date. And we went to some flea market or whatever, and he said, hey, let's go over to this place for ice cream. And I'm like, I'd be happy to go with you. I don't eat it, but I'm happy to go with you. So we went. And he ordered, and he said, what do you want? And I said, well, like I just said, he said, you know what? That went right over my head. I'm like, it's no problem. So while he was sitting there eating, at that time, I really was okay. But afterwards, I thought, what's the harm? This is my disease trying to get in, trying to not smash what needs to be smashed. My disease said, oh, my God, Ronnie, don't be ridiculous. You can have a cup. And I'm like, a cup? I want the biggest possible thing they have. I don't want a little cup, which is considered a serving, 4 ounces. I'm like, that's a spoon for me. I'm not making fun of anyone. I'm making fun of myself. And I'm good with that, because that's the way I ate that stuff. And, you know, I was watching a show the other day, and on the show, there was somebody who was eating a piece of dessert, and someone said to them, here, put a dollop of cream on it. And I know my disease is alive and well, and it's what am I going to feed that day, the healthy or the unhealthy? Because I was thinking I would cover the top of that with the cream. And, you know, people that don't have this disease, I notice, they do not do that. They really don't do that, and I'm stunned by that. But I have this disease, and I conceding, yes, I have
wonderful.
Okay, thank you. I have to tell myself that the delusion that I can be like those people has to be smashed. Thank you, everyone. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Ronnie B. Alexis F., you're up next, followed by Darlene H.
It's Alexis F. in New Jersey. When I started compulsively overeating. It was when I was an infant. I was a very, very fat baby, very chubby baby. And the doctor said to my mother, about 18 months of age, you have to put her on a diet because she can't pull her up. She pull herself up. She's so heavy. So on and off through the years, I've had my problems with compulsive overeating, having been born with it. And there was something that I want to say about. I lost it. I can't think what it was I was supposed to talk about. I had something on my mind related to the reading. Maybe it's the words they chose in the reading, like the idea has to be smashed, that you can never eat again. And then I wanted to talk about whenever I go somewhere, because you know, I don't go out of the house that much. Whenever I do go out or have people in, I always make a commitment to like several people if I can, or as many as I can, to tell them, you know, exactly what I'm going to eat, or that I'm not going to have this or that if it's there. You know, we keep this stuff in the house if we make it for other people, have them take it home. But I was an arrogant eater. I didn't care who was in the room or who needed more. I was selfish, self-centered, and all I wanted to do was finish what I wanted. If there was something on the table that was like sweet and I liked the taste of it, I would eat all of it. You know, I wasn't until much later on when I came into a vision that I saw my own self-centeredness and was able to ask God to remove that. And you know, somebody said one time at a meeting that if you just ask God to remove one character defect, he helps you with all of them. And it says in another reading that your character defects are removed one day at a time. Forgive me. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Alexis F. Appreciate your share. We've been reading and we've been commenting on page 30, paragraph 2. Begins, we learned we had to fully concede, and ends with have to be smashed. And Darlene H. is going to share next, and then after that, we'll take a lineup of a few more shares. So please share with us, Darlene H.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. My name is Darlene H. I am a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. I am so grateful that I had to fully concede, you know, and it says we learned we had to fully concede. And how I learned was through, you know, many years in this program of abstinence, not abstinence. And the food just taking me out again and again and again. To the point where, you know, thankfully somebody helped me to identify the alcoholic foods, ingredients that caused me trouble. That helped me tremendously. It also helped me tremendously to fall on my face again and again. And I had so many thoughts about this paragraph. One being that I too was very self-reliant, very self-reliant, and had a lot of experience with the steps in the big book, taking other people through the book, and thought I knew things, but I could not control my eating. I could not eat the way I wanted to eat. And for me, the way I wanted to eat was not the way that I was eating. The way I wanted to eat was the way I eat today. Very healthy, clean fuel for my body. But left up to my own devices, I was filling myself with crap. Like it was, I love when people talk about it. It was a no choice. I had no choice. My thinking, my body was calling the shots. I had no say in the matter. And I had to concede to that. I had to say, I don't have this control. I don't have this ability. I don't know what I'm doing. It's not working. And my sponsor, who sat me down, and she said, you know, I know you have a lot of experience, but maybe you should just be quiet and listen and follow these directions, which was hard on the ego, for sure. But it was exactly what I needed, because I was able to finally see, as they say, you know, the delusion had to be smashed. I'm not like other people. I'm not. And today, that's okay. Today, I'm grateful. Today, I know. Today, I live in a healthy body. Doesn't mean my brain, my disease, doesn't try to tell me stuff on a regular basis. You know, like, hey, having some grapes as a snack is no problem. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, it will say that to me. Excuse
Gentle
me.
Reminder.
It's just a matter of, thank you. It's just a matter of if I'm plugged in and I'm in tune with my power greater than me in this program and doing steps 10, 11, and 12 on whether I actually decide to jump in and have that. Thank you very much for your service, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Darlene H. And we are reading and commenting on page 30, paragraph 2. And though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days and you'd like to, we have time for 3, possibly 4, but more likely 3 more shares.
Hi, Lindsay B.
Marilee W.
Sandy M. Joyce A.
Wow.
Did you hear Irene?
Out of all
Sorry.
Of that.
Rosie F.
Okay, I heard Joyce, Irene, and Rosie. And
Lindsay.
We have time for one more. I'm sorry, who was that?
Lindsay.
Lindsay. I wish I had 6 hours and we could hear from all of you. Okay, I've got Joyce, Irene, Rosie, and Lynn J. And so hopefully there's room for all of you. And please, Joyce, share with us your, and you'll be followed by Irene.
Thank you so much. This is Joyce A. in Colorado. I haven't shared for quite a while. In fact, I missed a couple meetings. And let me tell you, my day doesn't go so good when I don't start out with a meeting. So I am eternally grateful that you are here to help me through my recovery. This is such a powerful paragraph, short and sweet. I had to look up because I wanted to know exactly what a delusion was. I knew it was something that was not true. But what it said was it's a persistent false belief regarding the self. And it could not be described better than in the dictionary. I knew that I was not normal. I knew that I didn't want to eat the same way other people ate. When they when they're full, they push their plate away. When they think something's too sweet, I never thought anything was too sweet. I've known for my entire life that there was something different about the way food related or the way I related to food. But so I knew that was a truth. The false belief was that I thought I could be normal, that I could somehow fix myself by being maybe the appropriate weight or size or having the right amount of exercise or I wasn't even sure what. I would have tried anything to find out how I could become normal. And so what had to be smashed in me was that delusion. I will never be normal. And maybe that's a good thing. Who wants a bunch of normal people walking around? I need to be me. I need to be unique. But I need to follow God's design, God's plan for me. And that's what I'm trying to do every day now, is reach out to God first. What would you have me do? Where would you have me be? What would you have me say? And life is so much easier when I do that. And when I do that, I have neutrality with food. And that's, neutrality is so much better than normal. I can be around people that are eating things that I used to crave and obsess over, and the obsession is gone. And that is an entirely new way of living that I had never, ever experienced before I came to Vision. And that's 23, going on 24 years of program. But it has only been since Vision, and in the last, this last year, 2022, that I've been able to feel the freedom of the neutrality and the gifts of the program. And, oh gosh,
thanks,
I just, it's so wonderful. Thank you so much. I want to share this with everyone. I am so grateful that you're here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you to Joyce A. Irene, you are up next. I think it's Irene B, but I'm not quite sure. And then you'll be followed by Rosie.
Good morning. Thank you all for your service. I'm so very grateful to be here. I'm Irene B, a recovered bulimic from Louisiana. Oh my goodness. What a beautiful meeting. What a powerful reading. I've read that paragraph many a time and it's never resonated. It's like, yeah, whatever. Well, I forgot how my entire life is like, we thought we were normal. I never thought I was normal. I always knew I was different. Always. Always. And this thing about the food, I was just resentful. I didn't realize that the way I ate was too much. And I was resentful as I got older and I saw how I was overweight and other people could eat the same I ate, but they were thin and I was fat. It was just so unfair. You know, I just couldn't get past the unfairness of it. And then as I went into therapy to recover from bulimia, all the 4 inpatient and 4 outpatient treatment centers, every one of them said that it's okay to eat everything in moderation. I did not know about the allergy of the body. And to me, that was a game changer because I had to accept it. I had to surrender to it. I had to accept my powerlessness over the fact that I can't eat that much, number one, and number two, that I want to eat everything in sight. And then, as I was trying to recover from bulimia, I would say, oh, just this little piece. But when I was in my state of bulimia, there was no such thing or just having a little bit of this or a little bit of that. You know, like the reading says, I had to smash that idea. I couldn't introduce into my body my allergens because my mind, body, and soul was going to scream for more and more, and there just wasn't enough to fill that hole that I've been trying to fill with food my entire life. So I just wanted to say that there is hope. I thought I would never, ever, ever recover from bulimia.
Gentle reminder.
And with that, I pass. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you so much, Irene B. Rosie P. And Lynn J. can both share if you keep your share to 2 minutes. I mean, Rosie F., I'm sorry. Rosie, please share with us.
Thank you, Lane. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all the shares. Oh, my gosh, they were wonderful. I can relate to almost everyone, probably all of them. That innermost conceive, you know, I've gone through so many. I've been in this program in and out of the rooms. I just thought about it about 38 years. And it's just now that I'm really conceiving that I am a true compulsive overeater and that I do think like people differently. I act like them differently. That mental twist has really got me. And so I can't go. I used to think I could go to potlucks and, well, whatever's on the table, if it's that diet mentality, those foods that I can eat, they had there, not realizing that maybe the way they cooked it, maybe the way they had prepared it, maybe there was something in it that I couldn't have, that there was an ingredient. I did not conceive that I had a true allergy of the body. My allergy of the body is like, no, I don't break out in hives, you know, I don't throw up, but I have that compulsion to overeat. My body just processes it differently. I mean, I had to really learn about that and just inundating myself with the program every day and hearing everybody and relating to you all, getting it through my thick skull and surrendering my life to God, to my higher power, has been huge because I think, you know, that self-reliance, I relate so much to that. I thought I could do this. You know, I've been able to kick all this other stuff and manage my life, I thought, until I came to this program and really started working the steps with a recovered sponsor and with my God, because that has been a game changer in itself. Just talking to a sponsor this morning about it, you know, that we have to concede that we are different, that we have to know that we can't, you know, do certain things like other people when we spend the night or go over their house and they want to go and have muffins and we can't do that, you know. So I will pass with that, just that I know now that it is about boundaries, taking care of myself, but more than anything is to accept my illness. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Rosie F. And Lynn J., please share with us for 2 minutes. Thank you.
This is Lynn J., recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado. And there was no doubt that I was different than others since the first time I came around the rooms in the 80s. And the way that I tried to control all of this compulsive eating was by switching from substance to substance. So I would use alcohol at times. I would use nicotine at times in the effort to try to control my eating, which, of course, none of those worked. Every time I would lose 100 pounds, I would gain 100 pounds. And so I would think I was bulletproof based on this wonderful success I had accomplished on my own. This has nothing to do with my own power. Today, I know this only by the grace of God. I now am recovered, which I didn't even understand in the first place, because I thought that you're just always recovering. I didn't know that there was a possibility of being recovered. And I certainly did not understand the spiritual experience. I couldn't, every time someone said that, I thought, I couldn't imagine how one could have come to this place, having now come to this place myself only by working the steps to the best of my ability. I'm now ready to sponsor, having had this spiritual awakening. I told my sponsor when I first began working the steps that I would never, ever be ready to sponsor. Then I was. And she said to me, "Lynn, I knew you would be ready. So now I am ready to sponsor." And I very much am needing to listen to the message each and every single day. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lynn J., and everybody who has shared. So, so very grateful for your powerful shares. We're going to close the meeting now by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie M. please read A Vision for You?
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine B., for your service. I am Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.